Welcome to Growth Marketing Camp, a podcast powered by OpenSense, where we sit down with leaders and founders from diverse backgrounds in marketing, tech, and beyond to explore what it takes to build a leading brand that's shaping the world of B2B. Let's get into it.
Hey, y'all. This is Jazz Binning, co-host of Growth Marketing Camp. I'm extremely excited to welcome Obed Durrani, head of brand and content at Hockey Stack and creative director at The Flow. Obed, it's an absolute honor to have you join us. Welcome.
Likewise. Thank you very much. I'm really excited to be here. I appreciate you taking the time out to chat with me today. Thank you.
Oh, 100%. And it's the same thing I mentioned to you before we hit record. You have been on our radar for a very long time. Besides the content that you have continued to share throughout this year, honestly, Obed, you have blown up on my feed. I see your nice little setup in the background, the content. I think I initially, what broke my, when I was just scrolling on TikTok, were the gaming videos.
Because
So when you were doing the screen share and then you're actually playing video games. Yeah. And I remember when I saw that, I was like, hey, this is actually really cool to see that. Because I see that on TikTok. I see it on Instagram. Yeah. LinkedIn.
Nice.
And at that point, it's like, okay, this guy's doing some really wild things. Let's pay a little attention to this. You joined Hockey Stack as of, is it this year, 2023?
Yeah. And back in March of this year.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Why don't you first tell us a little bit about Hockey Stack? What do you guys do and for whom? And then what you're specifically responsible for at Hockey Stack right now?
Yeah, for sure. So Hockey Stack is a analytics and attribution tool for B2B marketing teams. And it's, in a nutshell, it's kind of a way to unify like all of your data, because we use like different tools for different things. We'll use like Salesforce for this, HubSpot for that. One is these tools don't really talk to each other in a way. And then two is it's kind of hard for us to build like sort of insights off of this data. When you think of like, you know, even just like web traffic data, you can get things like keyword rankings and how much search traffic you're getting, but then there's no way to like tie that to pipeline and like how it's affecting that. And so Hockey Stack just integrates your entire tech stack. So with like one click, you can connect Salesforce, your CRMs, your ad platforms, all of that stuff. And then takes all of that data, combines it into like one set, and then you can build reports and, you know, drive insights based off that data. So pretty much anything you wanted to see, like you can see, you know, in the last 6 months out of all of our new customers, how many of them have mentioned our podcast or listened to our podcast. So you can like then see reports for those types of things. So it's a really cool product. It's, you know, that's what got me excited about it in the first place when I joined back in March. And I joined as the first marketer, built out, you know, the sort of like the marketing content engine from scratch. We made a bunch of, you know, content series and strategic narrative, all that stuff. So that's what I was responsible for initially, to get that going essentially from like zero to one, from like nothing to having a comprehensive content engine running. And then, you know, now moving forward, the goal is to just kind of, before it was kind of like scrappy mode, you know where I mean, where I was like, I'm editing some of the videos, we have a designer, she's also acting as our main video editor, and it's kind of just like me and her doing all of these things. And so now it's, our goal is to sort of, I guess, flesh this out and like scale it into like a proper content operation or like a production house or something like that. So that's where we're at now.
Yeah. Wow. Can I just say, I know the Hockey Stack team is fairly lean compared to other B2B brands out there. I had no clue that the marketing team was that small. And that is so freaking impressive. That it's basically like you and another person, because I'm not joking when I tell you the stuff that I have seen. If I have tried to share even ideas internally to get buy-in, and I've been inspired by a lot of things that, for example, you guys have done, I'll actually mention it to the team to give them an example. Hey, here's an example. You know, one of the brands that actually stands out that actually doing content differently. And I mentioned Hockey Stack. I'm still shocked that it's really just you and another person who's basically like spearheaded and bootstrapped this, because you guys make it look so big and you guys make it seem so easy. This is crazy. Yeah.
a few months ago, I guess 3 months ago, we added Drew, who's mm-hmm. like our head of product marketing. So like, you know, our marketing team, you know, our co-founders, they do content as well. So, you know, like our quote unquote marketing team could essentially be like everyone, because even our, like Nate, our head of sales, he's our one sales guy. Like he makes content too. But in terms of like officially, like the content team is just me. It was me from like March when I joined to about 3 months ago. That's when Drew joined as head of product marketing. And then that allowed me to sort of get away from like the website and the product marketing stuff and positioning and messaging. And Drew was really able to take that over, which kind of freed me up to focus more on the content engine, the marketing stuff. So now it's like I'm focused on the content engine, social media, the brand awareness stuff, the product association stuff, where Drew's really just heading up now product marketing. So we now actually have someone looking over that. So all the narrative building, positioning, messaging. He recently just launched our template library where he worked with like a bunch of popular experts in our space to create all of these dashboards that essentially help you measure and track, you know, just activities the way that they would do it. So like the way Gaetano Donardi, he's a popular, you know, like expert in our space, the way that he would track blog success to revenue, Drew built up an entire dashboard just like that. So that way you could track your blog success to revenue just like Gaetano does. So it's cool now. We can, you know, essentially the way we were able to move before on like the content side of things with one person, we can also replicate that now and move just as like impactfully on the product marketing side as well. So it's been really fun. Like with me and Drew working together. Yeah.
Especially I can imagine like you almost have to wear two different hats to be able to do both. One, which is how I envision your work. A lot more kind of wildly creative, definitely out of the box, and things that would actually catch on and try to get people to stop in their tracks and be like, all right, to understand and even care about who HockeyStack is. You're basically bringing them in. And then a lot of the work that it sounds like he's doing, whether it's positioning the website, the product, now how do we make it relevant to the people that are in here? How do we actually get people to understand what it is that we do and what kind of value we can actually provide? Yeah. One of the things I wanted to talk about is how you've been able to create so much content. And then definitely I'd love for you to talk a little bit about the flow. It includes content that's also produced by, I'm sure, a lot of the friendships and the relationships you have built, which is where I realized that having those close connections and those friendships with other LinkedIn creators is where you've been able to leverage and bring them into your content engine, which is why it's possible for a small team to be able to get so much traction. Talk to me about that. I know you guys had 15 different series created, bunch of people that I absolutely love to see on my feed too. And then some specifically related to HockeyStack, some just comedy, gaming. Talk to me a little bit about that, where the idea came from and how you executed it.
Yeah, cool. So initially the idea from my side, I started this thing called Easy Mode with Todd Clouser, where it's like this Easy Mode framework. Essentially, we started it last year when there was just like a lot of advice, in my opinion, that was like good advice, but not really any ways on like how to execute that advice. So like be a media company, stand out from the sea of sameness and, you know, make good content. And it's like, okay, like I agree with all of these things, but like, what does any of this mean? Like, how do you do these things? And then so like Todd and I got together and, you know, really long story short, we thought like, you know, we've come up with all these concepts that we talk about on LinkedIn, like memorable experiences, substance and delivery, creator managers, all this stuff. It's like, what if we took all of our concepts and laid them out in almost like a chronological order to, if you followed these things and actually implemented them in your company, then that would be the best way to actually accomplish all of those things, like becoming a media company, all of that stuff. So we created that framework. It was an 8-part framework. In our mind, like this was all theory up until, you know, we actually started implementing it. First, we did it with Cognizm. It worked well. Then from there, he joined Lavender and I joined Hockey Stack. He started building out Lavender Land and then I started implementing it at Hockey Stack. So my first conversation with Amir, who's the co-founder at Hockey Stack and CRO, he's the one that like found me, reached out to me and like brought me on the team and stuff. I remember talking to him and he was like, you know, I want you to lead our marketing team and do all of this stuff. And at the time, like I was on a bit of a career break. I wasn't really looking to jump back into things. So I thought, you know, let me see if this is like the right role. So I was just telling him like, hey, this is the way I would want to do marketing. This is the way I would want to create content. I would want to do this, this, and this. And he was kind of just saying yeah to everything. So I was like, all right, well, let me see how far I can push this. And I was like, I also want to create a streaming platform for B2B. And then he was like, go to hockeystack.com/theflow. And I went there and he was already like building it out. It wasn't quite a streaming platform yet, but it was more than like a resource center blog, right? And then he was like, why do you think I reached out to you to build this stuff? So I was like, holy crap, because like he was already, we were thinking the same thing almost. Mm-hmm. So then I joined the team and then we start, you know, the goal is to build out this platform. There was a lot of lessons that I just had in my mind from before. Like one of the important things was like entertainment and B2B is like needed. It's important. It's all of that, right? Like I always had this belief that like, you know, we always say like, oh, even though it's B2B, you're still marketing to humans. People like to laugh and sing and do all that stuff. And then, so I was like, okay, like, let me really act on these beliefs. But then one lesson I learned from other people's mistakes was that you can't create entertaining content for like the sake of being entertaining. Like there was just things that people have done where I was like, this is great content, but it doesn't like teach me anything about your product, right? Mm-hmm. And like, in my opinion, the whole point of entertaining B2B content is it's a way to stay top of mind until that person's in market without like spamming your product. However, if you don't create any associations with your product, then when they do move in market, they're not going to think of you in that situation. So then there's no like the purpose that it defeats the purpose of creating that entertaining content in the first place. So like on one hand, we have that. On the other hand, it can't be totally about your product because unless you're like explicitly interested in learning about Hockey Stack, for example, you're not going to care for that content. Yep. So then there was this idea of like, we'll create, you know, series that are about things that you'll enjoy, but then they also have these subtle associations with Hockey Stack. So like, for example, the therapy skits that I made, mm-hmm. I made these like TikTok skits about a marketer venting to his therapist. And like, you know, the marketer complains about different things like the sales team bullying him and like this and that. And it's funny. And the therapist like consoles him, like the sales team can't hurt you anymore and all of that stuff. But then through his like consolation, he'll be like, and for the ROI issue, there's Hockey Stack and it does so-and-so now. And so like, then we also built like full-blown series like on the product itself. Like I remember on that first call with me and Amir, when he was showing me the product, he got to the point where he was showing me the no-code dashboard builder. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, this is how you use it. You know, like you can just set certain goals and then you can track pretty much anything you can think of. And I was just like, wait a second. So if you're telling me if I can think of the different things that I would need to track over time to measure something like brand affinity GOAT over time, I could do that. And he's like, yeah, for example, like this is how you do it. So then like, I just started daydreaming about like, I started like seeing this like series play out in my head that was like, we'll get suggestions from marketers in our community about all the things they find difficult to track. We'll put those suggestions in like a fishbowl, then like someone picks it out of the fishbowl, they read that thing, and then they use Hockey Stack to create a dashboard for that metric. And I told him about it on the call and he was like, that's awesome. And then created the show and it turned out to be Can You Dashboard It, which is like one of our most impactful shows in terms of pipeline, like generated. So there was that idea of like to create these conceptual shows that are like fun for you to watch, but they create these product associations. So that was like one bucket of shows. We were like, okay, we need to teach people about our product. They need to understand how our product works. So then we have like these product-based conceptual shows. On the other hand, it was like, okay, we also need to educate them on our narrative. When I had first joined, like I created a strategic narrative for Hockey Stack, and it's like, we also need to educate them on our narrative. So we started creating in tandem series around our, that would spread our strategic narrative as well. And on the last thing, we were like, okay, we have product content and narrative content like in these parallel lanes, but we need a third lane where it's just like entertainment based, like B2B content to keep us top of mind. So then that's where like Tim Davidson's B2B Raw series came in, Todd's The Worst Marketer in the World series came in. So now we have these like three different lanes of content that sort of work together simultaneously, and like accumulatively they'll drive pipeline. Like no one series is really responsible for it, but when you add them all together and they kind of just do their thing, it started to really impact just the business and company growth like over time. So That's where the whole concept of like the streaming platform came to be.
Yeah. So thank you for breaking that down and the details, because one of the questions I was going to ask you when I went through and I was looking at what you guys have put together for the flow, the 15 different series, as an outsider marketer, right, trying to take a look at what it is that you guys built, I had that, you know, that little Einstein GIF moment where he's like, you know, the math is out. Yeah. I was like, I wonder how all, like how they planned it out, how all of this fits together to tell the story. So now that you've explained it, one track for telling the strategic narrative, the second track for focusing on like product placement and product associations, last were just for entertainment. That makes sense now. And it's like, okay, there's the light bulb. there's the moment that you guys did that. Nice. That is very cool, because when you take a look at it from a bird's eye view, it requires a lot of like, from an outsider, like I said, because I'm not at Hockey Stack, I don't know what you guys' goals are. It's hard to understand how does all of these pieces work together. But the three lanes concept makes total sense. And yes, when you actually take a look at everything and at the end, when you measure it, I imagine it makes sense. So that's very cool that you guys thought about that. How long did it take? When you guys actually started it, it sounds like Amir had his kind of concept in his head. You had your own concept. And then it's like, okay, let's try to make it work together. And then actually reaching out to people within your community, I know that can you dashboard it probably within your own team? Did you guys have like, hey, this series, we're going to have 5 episodes. This series, we're going to have like 5 or 6. And did you have to share the concept and let some of the creators build out the script themselves? Because now I'm trying to get into the scripting of it, which is already a whole nother, like it's a full-time job to just come up with like even a short, you know, a 15-second explainer video script. I just wonder how much of it is like, is it scripted? Do they naturally just like, you know, talk to me about that.
So initially, like we're creating a streaming platform, but we're not Netflix. We're not Disney Plus. So like I didn't have like that $1 billion budget. So my sort of driving factor or like my North Star or whatever, like the end goal for me was like, I want people to watch these series and think like the only difference between the flow and the Netflix is that Netflix has a $1 billion budget. But like, other than that, like the characters are there, the concepts are there, like the story writing is there. So like the goal was always to come up with like these conceptual shows, because I feel like in the whole like streaming platform, like stuff that's going on right now, like a lot of people are launching one and whatnot, and I think it's really cool, but I think one of the, I guess, misconceptions is that I see a lot of companies that are kind of just like repurposing like their webinars, you know, or just like taking their podcasts and then throwing them on a streaming platform and being like, hey, look, we have these original series. And it's like, those are not shows. You know what I mean? And so like, there was really this like idea of like, we have to create shows. And so the scripting and all of that stuff, initially it was just us. There were no external creators involved. And that's what I just like referred to. To keep it simple, I'll refer to everyone as like either internal creators, which are just people from our team, and then external creators, which are content creators, thought leaders, subject matter experts from our industry and stuff. So in the beginning, there were no external creators involved because we really had to establish something like the purpose of it. Because before that point, if you involve too many external people, then you don't really have like a vision that you're trying to execute. It's just external creators being involved now, and you could get caught up in the sort of like just doing whatever, right? Like Todd comes and he's like, oh, I got this great idea. And you're just like, oh, that sounds hilarious. And like, you just start making it, but it's like not built on your company goals. It's not built on any of this stuff. So it's not really relevant to what you're doing. And so initially we launched, like, there was Level Up, which was my gaming series. Mm-hmm. Can You Dashboard It? There was a few other series like Roasted with John Berg. There was The World's First Traveling Salesman. And there was these few conceptual series. And then we started getting external creators involved. And like the way that works is, I remember when I first joined, Hockey Stack was doing sort of like an influencer play,
yeah,
to where we were paying popular creators in our space like 400, 500 bucks a post to like write a sponsored post about us. Mm-hmm. And like one of the issues I saw with that is that people build their following on like a certain type of content, yeah, right? So you could have someone who like has built his or her following on like being open, transparent about like their life experiences, their struggles and stuff. And like, that's dope. Like they built an entire audience that way. That's how they built their following. Like that's their content. But then like randomly they'll come out with like, hey, so I've been using Hockey Stack lately and it's a great post. And it's like, that's going to flop. And it's like, it's not anyone's fault. Like it's not that creator's fault. It's not the company's fault. It's just that that's not what their audience wants to see from them. So like, I thought like, if we're already paying people to write posts about us, why not pay them per episode of a series instead? And like have them do an episode of like an original series that would actually make sense. So for example, this is fresh in my memory because we're working on it right now, but Brianna Doe.
Yep.
Everyone loves her on LinkedIn. And so like, we're creating a series with her right now. And it's like the mutual ground was, on one hand, as a company, we're creating Hockey Stack Academy, which I want to make like the go-to resource for marketers. And like, I want it to be like their go-to resource for learning, their educational hub. And so there's a lot of different content that's going to start coming out of Hockey Stack Academy, which is essentially going to be like our educational media property, where the flow is like our entertainment media property. When you look at that goal of Hockey Stack Academy, it's like, okay, the goal is to be the number one or the go-to resource, the go-to educational resource. And then you look at Brianna, who is a brilliant demand gen expert, a brilliant marketer, but she's built her following more so on helping marketers grow in their career. So like right there, right off the bat, like there's a common theme there, right? Like that's the type of creator in this space where she's known for that sort of helpful content. Like I would say I have a certain helpful content, which is a more based on like concepts and like, here's how you create campaign or whatever. Whereas with Brianna's helpful content, it's more so like, hey, here's how you can, you know, seek that promotion, as you know, going from like junior marketer to senior marketer. And so like we're building a series with her, which is just based on like marketing advice, like a career. Like for example, a few years ago, there was the whole idea of like a T-shaped marketer, right? Yep. So it's like, what is the T-shaped marketer of today with like all this AI stuff and all this media company stuff and show building and So like, what does that look like today? So like, that's one of the episodes like that Brianna will explore, like the T-shaped marketer of the day. And so her doing these series and her making these episodes, on one hand, she's continuing to create the kind of content that she likes. She enjoys making this type of content. On the other hand, her audience expects this type of content from her. And so as a company, it's meeting our goal. It's helping us progress towards that goal of becoming the go-to educational resource. So like, that's kind of where external creators fit into this whole show building thing. It's like, you're creating these series already to accomplish these specific purposes. Mm-hmm. So why not grab a popular creator, a popular expert from your industry to create their own series to make its impact towards that goal, towards that purpose. So that's where all of they come in. We have all of our goals laid out. I break goals down into objectives because I'm of the mind that there's nothing you can do to accomplish an entire goal in like one full swoop. So you'll need to break it down into like, okay, these are the multiple things that individual things will need to accomplish if we want to fulfill this goal. Mm-hmm. So like, we have three or four major goals. Each of those goals are broken down into like three or four objectives. And then for each of those objectives, we're building like different series and internal series, external series, that then like, as we mentioned before, sort of work together to accomplish these different goals.
God, I love that. You know, when I have these conversations, a lot of times right after, depending on the conversation that I have, I have a little whiteboard here, bought from Costco. It's awesome. I can keep stuff inside of it too. But I'll always write down the name of the creator where I'm like, okay, go back. Because it's one thing actually having a conversation. It's another thing going back and actively listening to it without me feeling like, all right, what's going to be the next question? Wonderful. And that's one of the things where I'm like, God, I wouldn't have thought about that. And even if I think about bringing in, because we kind of dipped our toes a little bit into influencer marketing, sponsoring a podcast, and then sponsored posts. But that's one of the things where I'm like, damn, yes, 100%. If like, when I think about myself as a consumer seeing a sponsored post, it's automatic. I'm going to discount it. I'm going to ignore it. The fact that you guys found a very compelling and wonderful way to respect the creator that you're reaching out to make them, you know, also realize that, hey, this is going to fit. This is going to help you continue to be authentic. So you're really thinking about them. You're thinking about your business goals at the end of the day. And you're thinking about the audience of that creator right. that you also want to bring into your funnel. It's like absolute showing respect to every single person within this relationship. Yeah. Wonderful. I would never think about that. And it's like, I think a lot of people, unless you're testing and you guys are building out all of these big bold campaigns and you're having a chance to see what works and what doesn't, critically thinking about it, and then going back and optimizing your strategy, that's where people like us who aren't taking as many big risks, like marketers like us, are able to learn. So thank God for Growth Marketing Campaign for you being here, because just helped me, for example, realize one of the things I will do differently if I go down that path. Because Brianna, she's been on our show. Her content is very, very niche and specific to her passions. And this idea now, and tying her into your guys' new educational platform that you guys are going to create, the Hockey Stack Academy, I'm excited to see it now, because it's like, you know, the end result is going to be incredible content. Why? Because it's absolutely authentic and it's true to the creator and it still ties back to your guys' brand. Wonderful. Yeah. Wow.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. That is crazy. So, man, talk to me about the Hockey Stack. And then I'm going to actually focus on you a little bit. I'm like, I feel like I'm going to have you on multiple episodes here, because you guys are doing, I hope that you understand. I'm sure we have these conversations. You're like, man, we look back and like, damn, we are doing a lot. I hope from an outsider, you understand y'all are doing and you are doing and thinking in such kind of creative ways. It is not standard. It's not the norm. So I just want to say, like, from everybody in Growth Marketing Camp who's listened to this episode, thank you.
I really appreciate that because, I mean, no, not really. It's hard to like understand the impact that you're having, especially when it's all just like digital. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to sound really weird, but I remember like there was the CMO that was just like messaging me and like, it was kind of just like, oh, whatever, you know, just like, okay, just getting back to her. And I started consulting their marketing team and I get on a call with them and it's like, she runs this 30 person marketing team and they're like $60 million a year. And now I'm talking to her on Zoom for real. And I'm like, damn, she's a freaking person. Like, holy crap. Like, she's a legit CMO. And then like, there is so much more just like, I don't know, like realness and just like a person behind like this digital face that I was kind of just like DMing before. And it was like, didn't really mean much to me. And so, yeah, it's, you know, you don't really realize that. I know like a lot of people mention us, like I see the tags on LinkedIn. I see the hockey stack tags, people like DM me and stuff, but it's still hard to sort of really understand that or like quantify it or just understand like whatever impact you're having, if any. So, I mean, with you sort of taking the time out to explain that, it really, I can, you know, it helps me understand it a little more. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes I just feel like I'm just in my room, just like making content, you know, and stuff and just putting stuff out there. And it's like, okay, on to the next thing.
No.
So, yeah, I really 100%. Appreciate that.
Well, of course. And I'm going to say this, like one of the, besides, you know, other marketers being able to see what it is that you're building and, you know, seeing your post and be like, oh, I bookmark a bunch of stuff where I'm like, God, when I have a little bit more time, but well, some of the stuff even that you're creating, like you're helping when you actually pull back a little bit, besides the awesome ideas and the transparency. For example, this episode and the stuff that you've already shared, the thought process that went into a lot of it. That could A, help me come up with better content, help my team, and then also help me from a personal level, right? To develop myself as a career, to develop my actual career, because I'm now learning from a lot of your mistakes or maybe some of the things that you have shared. And I am now having, like I said, standing on the shoulders of giants. That's the big thing here. And there's a difference when you take a look at the bigger budgets, people with the bigger budgets out there. One of the things you mentioned is when we're even creating series and content in a streaming platform, you really have to, you could get excited and just start coming up with a bunch of creative stuff. But at the end of the day, then you lose sight of your original goal. And I think when you're in a position where you're forced to be very bootstrapped, you always have to think about the revenue impact. And so the first time I actually thought about and I saw this concept of like a streaming platform or a series in kind of a tech B2B or B2C or whatever environment, I remember I used to love MailChimp and the stuff that they created. Yeah. And I'm like, damn, it'd be great to work for a company like MailChimp and have like the budget that they do. And I remember they had a bunch of like episode shows that they created. And I'm like, damn, it was just fun shows. And I thought, I bet they never, if I tried to pitch my team that I wanted budget to just create that, at the end of the day, me and my team would bust our asses off. We'd pour our heart and soul into it. And then all of a sudden you would publish it and the conversation from everybody else, hey, what kind of revenue impact has it had? It's like, oh, you're just waiting. It'd come back to me like, right? So it's like, we can't do that. We don't have that luxury. So y'all sharing the stuff that you're doing, especially because it is a lot. And as someone who's consumed a lot of the content, has seen a lot of your content and the different streams, now it makes sense. I respect the hustle more. And I'm like, damn, it didn't look easy. And now I realize it is not easy.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, the whole reason I kind of do the whole like LinkedIn content creation thing is I told Amir from like a personal perspective, I honestly don't even really like it, right? Because I'm not used to like attention. I'm not used to like people blowing up my phone and stuff. You know what I mean? So like it's over the years, like just before LinkedIn, like I developed, you know, like social anxiety and all of that type of stuff. So like, I kind of have to like remove myself from LinkedIn for like a few weeks, maybe even a month or so at a time, because it kind of gets overwhelming to me. like all the people, like the DMs and stuff. And so like, I get burnt out. I get burnt out from DMs. I get burnt out from video calls. And the only reason I continue to like create content, even though it kind of conflicts with like my personality, is because like I'm just curious. And I remember coming up as a marketer like 2-3 years ago, you know, trying to learn from the Moz and the HubSpots of the world. Like you get to a certain point. Like, for example, there's this like idea of like niching down and like being known for something. Mm-hmm. But then like one of the things that I learned from that is I would outgrow that person's content, mm-hmm. you know? So like if someone teaches me about content distribution, eventually I will have learned everything that person has to offer. He or she does not evolve past that conversation. So like there are a lot of marketers that I looked up to them like maybe year one,
yeah,
year two, but like now it's like I haven't followed them in like years because they're still over there talking about, you know, that same topic and I don't need it anymore. So like one issue with that is like you have this like following that comes and goes. So it's like a new batch of like 30 people and like you're teaching them, they're beginners, then they like grow out of your content. And then now you got to, you know, there's like 30 more beginners that you're teaching. So like, I never wanted to do that. So what I kind of did is like my content, it's just like, I'm just curious. And I remember asking those questions, like HubSpot would be like, you know, just make good content. Content is king. And I'm like, I can't just, you know, like put on my good content hat and blast off into good content land. Like, what is that? So I started like exploring those content topics. And then, so now it's just like, as I learn things, I just turn around and I'm like, hey guys, this is what I learned. Come check it out. Like 7 variables of B2B show building. Mm-hmm. I think it's this. And then I just like go away. And you know, like, because I know that we all have these questions and like, we all have the same curiosities and we're all trying to learn these things. But if we just look at like the established players in this space, like we're not going to get this from them. And so like, I kind of just always wanted to just share what I'm learning rather than, oh, let me be like an expert or like a thought leader or whatever. I personally, I don't really care for that type of stuff. Like I just want to share what I'm learning in hopes that like other people will find it helpful. And then like, you know, if you learn something, you'll turn around and teach us as well. So like that's kind of really just how I look at all of the content that I created.
Yeah,
it's even cool. Like before Hockey Stack and stuff.
Totally, it's cool you mentioned that because yeah, as a consumer, you're so right about that. Like growing out of a certain type of content, and then on the flip side, as a creator, you're almost, you know, you probably outgrow it too. Yeah. And I bet so many of those creators who have niched themselves, because I remember that was a big thing. Find a niche, become wildly obsessed with it, become extremely knowledgeable, and then just share that with the world. And we're human beings, okay? We can continue to just harp on one thing over and over and over again. It's going to affect our mental health, okay? And then when you realize majority of the audience you've built wants only to see you serve that kind of content, you also, like, imagine the pressure now you have that, damn, I don't want to do this anymore. This doesn't excite me anymore. But I have to continue to do it. It's like a ball and chain. Yeah. So I love this idea of stay like you focusing on just being curious and then going into your little rabbit hole, learning as much as you can, and then moving on to the next thing. That's such a wonderful way as a creator and as a consumer for you to, as a marketer, as a human being, for you to just spend your time. And then, but one of the things you mentioned that continues to go back to, it's not about the numbers. It's not about your metrics or being a thought leader and how many followers you have and becoming LinkedIn's top voice. It's about helping people. And so I love that you mentioned that, because when you focus on that, even the anxiety, the posting, oh my God, why is my post flopped today? None of that shit matters. Because even if you help like one person or two people, you're golden. So I love that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now we talk about you a little bit. I know we spent a lot of time talking about all of the creative genius within you. I know you started off in sales, moved into content marketing, and this is your first like full-time job after your break working at HockeyStack. at what point would you, when you think about like that milestone moment where it's like, this is the point where my, I feel like my life trajectory, my track changed. What was the turning point in your career if you were to look back today?
So like I moved to Pakistan like 11 years ago to like live with my dad. And then that's when I used to run an agency for like 4 years. And then it was doing pretty well. But then like COVID happened and he got sick with COVID, passed away from COVID. And then I was like continuing to do the agency thing. And then I remember like 7 months after like his death, I was like kind of overwhelmed. I was just like, I don't know. There's a lot, like I have to take care of myself, I have to take care of my kids and my wife and my mom now. But then like I also have these employees. And I was like, there's like 19 of them. And I was just like, man, you know, I can't really do this anymore. And like I was relatively still young at the time. I was like 28 years old. And then so I was like, haven't even had a job. And like, you know, like Chris Walker, and he was like really blowing up on LinkedIn at the time with like demand gen and dark social and all this stuff. So I'm kind of just sitting there like with this agency, it's kind of successful. I'm getting overwhelmed. And I just think like I was getting very bored of kind of like what we were just talking about. Probably like niching down. I was getting so bored of SEO and like blog posts. Like that's, we were a content marketing agency. On one hand, we did like the whole blog posting thing. And on the other hand, I created animated spider videos. So I had two teams, one team of content writers and then another team that was designers and animators. And I would train them and, you know, to get, to be able to train the designers and animators better. I spent like a year or two just learning more design and animation. And so I'd gotten to this point where like I was just really bored of the SEO stuff because we got really good at it. I got really good at it. And I kind of like to, I like run on challenges. If things are very challenging and difficult for me and there's stuff for me to figure out and there's obstacles, I'm having fun. You know what I mean? There's like a lot of stuff for me to do and there's like this goal that I'm chasing. There's, I know that there's this triumphant feeling at the end of the tunnel when I overcome all these like obstacles in front of me. That's my shit. I love that. When I've accomplished that and then things are kind of just easy, you're just doing the same easy stuff every day. I could be making lots of money. It could be very successful, easy stuff. I will just grow to get very bothered in that situation. I start to get very uncomfortable, very bored, very agitated and stuff. And so all those things adding up at that point, the whole dad situation, getting bored, content, SEO, and then people like Chris Walker taking off on LinkedIn, talking about things like demand gen, dark social. It's kind of like, what's that? Like,
yeah,
the hell is that guy talking about over there? Like, that shit seems very interesting. And then the last thing was running a content marketing agency. It was weird because I was like closing all the deals. So I'm like, I'm like doing all the sales calls and stuff like that. So I understand like the revenue that my company's making. Like I know how all of this stuff works together, like the lead gen, the money making, the pipeline, closing deals, growing MRR, blah, blah, blah. But due to the nature of just the way that people see SEO work, blog posting work, I wouldn't have those conversations with my clients. For example, if a company is working with like a paid ad agency and they're working with like an SEO agency, naturally, they're just going to talk to the SEO liaison, SEO account manager, SEO person about like search traffic, keywords, all of that stuff. With the paid ad agency, they're going to talk about like, you ran this campaign, we got this much in pipeline. So like, naturally, we just wouldn't have those conversations. And I got very tired of just like, we're ranking these blog posts, we're driving search traffic, but like no one's ever telling me if it's doing it. I would have to go and have those conversations myself. And then because they're not used to having those conversations with like an SEO team, it was very like, oh, don't worry, it's doing good. You know what I mean? And just kind of like stuff like that. So these four things kind of added up. And I remember going to my wife and being like, do you think I should just move on from running this agency and get a full-time job? And she was like, yes. Yeah. And I remember like her like emphatic yes. Like it instilled so much confidence in me because I was so lost at the time. I was like, what do I do? Like, wouldn't it be stupid to like run, move on from agency was doing like 40K MRR. I got it like bootstrapped it from like zero to 40K in Pakistan. You know what I mean? So I was like, would it be dumb to like let this go and just kind of like go and do my own thing? But my wife was like, yeah, absolutely. So then I shut down the agency. And then that's when I joined Refine Labs as like their first associate creative director. And so that was kind of like the big turning point in my life where I went from being like this agency founder, this young agency founder, you know, doing his thing with SEO and all of this stuff to like, hey, like there's still a lot for me to learn. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still curious. I'm very bored with this SEO stuff and like the industry's evolving. And so I would say that's what that point in time was. This was around October 2021. That's when I joined Refine Labs that January, which was all of last year. And then this year, Hockey Stack. So about 2 years ago is when like, that trajectory changed.
Yeah. So first off, I'm so sorry about your dad. I think COVID, both my parents were in the ICU here for a solid 3 weeks because they're both immunocompromised. Horrible. And I remember that is the, I'm very close to my parents too. And I remember that was a point where I was like, does any of this shit matter? Yeah. Like every single day calling the hospital and trying to find out, are they going to make it or are they not? Like the vision that I had for my future included them. Yeah. Like I remember after that, it came to the point where I'm like, none of this shit matters. Yeah. Work. None of this shit matters at the end of the day. So that the fact that you experienced that, fortunately, my parents did come back. And I remember since then, that's been one of the things that for me as a professional and just as a daughter, right, as a family member, I'm a lot more, that's changed me. So I can imagine that combination. And again, I'm so sorry that, but.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, you know, millions of people lost people. So what can you do? You know, like it kind of just came out of nowhere and F shit up. So like you can't do much about it, but it's all right. Yeah. So that was kind of that point. And then, I mean, since then things have been better for me, like just in terms of personally for my career and stuff and like knowing what I want to do again. Like if you take away like all the COVID stuff and all that, like I was just bored. Like I was just bored of SEO. I didn't have like no one in this demand gen space knew me at that time. So like I wasn't a LinkedIn content creator. I was on LinkedIn, but I wasn't creating content. And I remember like after I moved on from running the agency, before I joined Refine Labs, because I moved on in October and I started Refine Labs in January. So for those 3 months, I got rejected from like 115 jobs. I remember that, like just applying on LinkedIn to like all these roles. And Sam Keenly from Refine Labs, he wrote this post about like, I'm looking for people. These are the 5 traits you're not going to see on job applications or job posts. If you have these things, hit me up. And like, I was like, screw it. Like, I'm just going to message this guy. And like, he was so awesome. Like, he actually got back to me. And like, me and him are like best buddies now. And so like, even though I'm not at Refine Labs, like we still talk every day. And so like, he was like, yeah, let's jump on a call. So I met Sam. Like we kicked it off and then he was the one that like referred me to Refine Labs and I got in through Sam's referral. So after I left Refine Labs in March 2022, I joined in January, left 3 months later. I went back to just like applying for jobs and just getting rejected again. And I remember like getting so frustrated. Like I had made it to like the second round of a Glassdoor interview and ultimately got rejected. And I remember reading the email like, hey, it was great talking to you, but like we've gone with someone else. And I remember like it's like 200 300 jobs I've been rejected from. Now I was just like, man, like screw this, like show me who you went with over me for a basic content marketing manager role. Like I just moved on from running a content marketing agency for 4 years. Like, how did you not choose me for a basic manager role? And I was so frustrated. And in my frustration, like I was kind of talking to myself and I was like, dude, like I can make music and I can make videos and I can do this and I can do that. And it kind of hit me when I was like, yo, like, you know, you can do all that stuff. Like, no one else knows you can do all that stuff. Like, you'll have to show them. And then so like that month is when I created a bunch of skits, like my first gaming videos, my first marketing music. That was April. And I had like, that's when I like totally took off in terms of like LinkedIn and stuff. And then from there is when I kind of started like this whole content creation journey of like all this different type of content and whatnot. So like it was the difficulty of finding a job that led me to creating all this content in the first place.
Thanks for sharing that. First off, so real.
For sure.
I remember Refine Labs, everybody spoke about them. The fact that you post your experience at Refine Labs struggled to find a job.
Yeah.
And then you sharing this frustration, like, I was going, I'm asking you what I'm imagining, but you're probably going.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, damn, if I had that experience, yes, I ran a content agency. I actually employed people that I took it from X to, you know, to Y or whatever. And I then started off in this, you know, pretty massive agency as a full-time marketer. And it's still getting rejected. I can totally imagine that frustration where it's like, you know, a lot of like regular Joe Schmoes, people who haven't had a lot of that wild experience, no wonder what they're going through. But you sharing that and then how often you would and you'd get rejected, hey, so freaking real. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, it makes, no problem.
I think it's going to make a lot of people who are in the job market who are getting rejected right now feel that, hey, it's not about you. But same thing that you mentioned, being mad and thinking, damn, who did you hire? Because I can imagine when you have that track record and you know your worth, and other people, they just quickly, because just conversation with you and the stuff that you shared, it's like, you know your shit. You're a very curious person and you do a wonderful way explaining that and then tying it back and really preserving and honoring the value of it all. So it's crazy to think that somebody like you would struggle with that. But thank God for that, because that's where the, you know, the super villain or the superheroes are made.
Exactly.
But wonderful. I know that is when you, so now to understand the motivation behind what got you to start just posting and the gaming and the music, that story, your little backstory, that's an awesome backstory. And now full circle, I'm going to say, it goes back to, you know, one of the things that you mentioned where it's like, hey, Jazz, you know, I'm just in my room creating stuff. I don't realize the impact that I have.
Yeah.
With that guy, Sam, and you had basically reached out to him. Think about the impact he had, for example, in your life. And then every single thing that has happened to this point to where you are today. And for sure, I bet you, if you applied, anybody's going to take a look and they recognize you. They're going to be like, oh, come work for us. Come work for us. I'm sure you get that.
It's a bit trippy now. Yeah. But I freaking love Sam. Shout out to Sam. What's up, Sam? I really appreciate you saying all that. That really means a lot to me. Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing it, because it makes, like I said, it makes all of us feel like, hey, it's not about you. You know, it's not about us and the experience that we have sometimes. Yeah. But I love that. We're definitely over time, but I really want to keep you for the rapid fire, which are technically supposed to be quick.
Let's do it.
If you're down for it. Okay.
Yeah, totally. Let's do it.
The goal with rapid fire, nobody ever does it. I want to see if you could be the first one to do it.
Let's do it.
Try to be super quick, first thing that comes to your head. One thing you're most excited about during this holiday break.
I'm moving back to the U.S. after like 11 years. I'm so stoked. No, I'm still in Pakistan. I've been here for the past, 11 years. And I'm moving back finally to Colorado, to Castle Pines. It's going to be so dope.
Amazing.
So I'm really excited about that. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Big priority for 2024.
I'll do Hockey Stack priority and then I'll do like a personal priority. Hockey Stack priority is I really want to sort of, honestly, like a lot of people, you know, like, oh, you know, you guys did so much this year, but I kind of still feel like we half-assed everything because it's like, it was just me, like one person. And so like, I really want to know what we'll be capable of doing. Not if we had like a full-blown team, you know, like I don't need 7-8 marketers. Like, you give me 3 marketers, if I had like a 3-person content team, like, I'd rule the world, you know? So like, that's my Hockey Stack priority, is just really just taking this sort of makeshift content operation we've built and turning it into like a proper production studio. And then my personal goal is I'd love to write this book on all of the concepts and stuff, like memorable experiences, substance and delivery. I've been planning out a book for all of it. So I don't know. I thought it'd be cool to just like take a shot at writing a book. I really just think of it as like, I don't know, just writing like 14 really long LinkedIn posts. Why mm-hmm. not? So like, that's my personal goal.
I love that. I love both. Good luck. I nice. Hope you get your marketer.
Thank you.
And I'm excited for the book. I would definitely read it.
Nice.
What's your morning routine look like?
It's an absolute mess. I wake up, shower, shave, all of that stuff. And then I just try to avoid not working for like, I don't know, at least like 2 hours. Because I would have this very bad habit of like, soon as I wake up, I'm like checking notifications and I'm like browsing LinkedIn and I'm doing all this stuff. So like now, like for the past couple of months, at one point, like I tried to get into journaling and all of that stuff, but like, honestly, it's just kind of hard doing it in like just in Pakistan and stuff. So now I kind of just wake up and it's just, you know, a deliberate attempt to just stay away from work for like an hour or two, have breakfast, you know, hang out with my kids. And then, you know, towards like, I guess, 2-3 hours after being up, then I'll just jump into work stuff. And then again, there's not much to do here. You know what I mean? There's no like movie theaters or whatever that I could go to. So it's kind of just like I hang out with my wife and kids and then I work and then I take time off and play video games and stuff. So that's really just my day.
Yeah. I like that you're intentionally trying to stay away from work. I definitely, yeah. 5 days a week, first thing I do, which I've tried to be like, all right, don't do it, is take a look at my phone, my notifications, message it. And then by then I'm like making coffee and I go straight into work.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah.
Something called, I guess there's a term for it, nighttime like procrastination, which is you, like you have no control during your waking hours. So you try to extend your evening. I don't have kids or anything either. So
Yeah. Like, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. And that like destroys your sleep, you know, because you're just like, my wife does that, you know, like she'll just be like doing stuff like she'll do her own things like with the kids and then like her own things throughout the day. And then, you know, so like at nighttime, like instead of sleeping, she'll just be up from like 2 to 4. She's like, this is my time. And I'm just like, all right, cool. Do your thing.
What is an underrated B2B brand besides Hockey Stack that you think is going places that you've seen on your feed? It's like, damn, I like what these guys are doing.
I think Audience Plus is going to be huge in terms of like a product.
Yeah.
Because when you think of like this whole like media company streaming platform stuff, like for them to create the software that's going to like enable literally everyone to do that, like that's, I think they're going to be huge just in terms of a software. And in terms of like, I don't know, like content or something like that, there's a few like up and coming ones. I think there's going to be a lot of brands in 2024 to watch out for, because the whole thing with it is, before, like whether you're like a project management tool or like a live event tool, there's really no one in your space that you could, we all have that, you know, like leadership problem, getting buy-in and all that stuff. And it's just like, hey, let me do like a funny series tied to our product. So-and-so did it and it's working for them. Like that virtually doesn't exist in any space. Like there's almost no space where whatever product you are that you can point to another company and be like, hey, look, they're doing it that way. Like, for example, project management tools, they can point to ClickUp, right? They have ClickUp, they have Monday, but it's like virtually in no other space do we have like a leading example. And so I think that was one of the biggest reasons why it was difficult for more companies to get buy-in. And it's almost like you really just have to think of it like B2B marketing has been around for what, like 20, 30 years, where like marketing itself has been around for like hundreds. So like we're still in our infancy as like a practice. And so we're now going to see, I think the 2020s are going to be huge. Like the 2010s were kind of like the HubSpot play, inbound marketing and all that, where I feel like 2020 and beyond is going to be kind of like all this stuff that we're seeing now with the media platforms, the creative concepts, the entertainments, the content creators, internal and external. So I think as we move forward into next year and beyond, we're going to start seeing just dozens and dozens of brands that we can, you know, gain inspiration from.
Yeah, that's a cool thought. And I totally agree with you. I never thought about it like that. What is your most strongly held professional belief?
I think we should abandon one. I don't think content equals blog posts. I think like 95% of marketers in the industry, like even to this day, especially like on the content marketing side, if you're listening to like an expert talk about content, they're always automatically just speaking from a blog post perspective. Yeah. Like it's like, oh, how do I make good content? It's like, oh, when you're editing your blog post, and it's like, who said I was talking about blogs? It's like, one, like we really need to get beyond this belief that content equals blog post. Like, you know, like content could be anything from a meme to like a mockumentary series, right? And then the other thing is, building on that, we need to abandon, because the way we currently come up with topics is through like keywords, what competitors are doing, and trends. So like almost every, like if you're building your topic on like what keyword research you're doing, then how is that impacting business goals? So like an alternative approach is to first create a strategic narrative that's going to be built on five things, or, you know, a few things: your company's goals, your audience's interest, your product, and essentially those three things, like this big story, like this change that you're trying to like implement, right? This is the way we used to do things before. This is how you should do it now. So like, essentially, if you can build a narrative around these four things, turn that narrative into like a comprehensive list of topics, and then create content around those topics rather than keyword research. Oh, our competitor made this comparison landing page, so we should do it too. These are the two biggest things, I think, that hold content marketing teams behind: that belief in content being blogs, and then the way we come up with our topics. So abandon the keyword first approach for a purpose first approach, a narrative first approach.
Yeah, I love that. I was typing because I'm like, they're writing that down.
Nice. Awesome.
Goals, audience interest, product, building a strategic narrative around that. And then using that to build out the topics versus keyword research. I like, love it. Really great. I'm so happy. I'm a very social person, but a lot of times I get burnt out by, even though I have wonderful conversations with people on growth marketing, a lot of times I get burnt out. The last 48 hours has been a little chaotic for me, and I haven't been feeling good. So this morning
that's not good.
Like, I hope this is going to be good. Now I was feeling a little down. I'm feeling so energized.
Nice. That's awesome. I'm really glad to hear that. Thank you. Yeah. That's great.
This is a question you're going to like. I created it specifically for you. What gaming hero are you, and what gaming villain are you?
I like this game, Skyrim. The main character is like, the titular character is called the Dragonborn. He or she is not like an actual person they've created. It's just kind of like this faceless, nameless person, because it's like a role-playing game, and essentially like you're taking that place. And so I don't know. I would say, in terms of heroes, the Dragonborn from Skyrim, that's the first person that comes to mind. And then villains. I don't know if he'd be considered a villain. They paint him as a villain in the game, sort of. But there's this guy, General Radahn, in Elden Ring. I freaking love him. It's like one of the best characters ever created. Like, one thing I'll tell you about him, he had this horse since he was a baby, and like, he grew massively huge, like too huge to ride his horse. So then he goes and learns like gravitational sorcery from sorcerers, so he can kind of just like float above his horse, so then he wouldn't have to part ways with him. And it's just like so awesome and like wholesome to think of this, like, I don't know, like 20-foot like general that just like gravitates around, like levitates around on this tiny little pony because he didn't want to outgrow him. So like, love that dude. So I would choose him.
What's his name? I'm gonna Google him after.
General Radahn.
R-A-D-A-H-N. I'm gonna take a look at it. So I'm not big on, like, I obviously am not big on it's not obvious. I guess
don't think it's obvious yet.
but you might
be a secret gamer. Yeah,
I use
it with all of your interest in it.
With my brother, yeah, I could be. Honestly, I could. I honestly could be. But I used to play with my brother. Yeah. Hmm. And Xbox, what was that alien one? That was I was Halo? So bored. Halo.
Halo. Yeah, I loved Whatever. Halo.
I'm Donkey Kong. Yeah. So I consider myself my hero, and then Super Mario and all of that. I think I'm I'm Toad.
Toad.
Or Donkey Kong.
Love Toad. Yeah, I love them. Yeah. They're awesome. Toad's adorable.
He really is just such a wonderful, wonderful friend. And I love mushrooms. Yeah. I have mushroom Christmas decor.
Yeah. Yeah, he's awesome.
Magical. cool. I'm going to Google this. General Radon. Man, awesome. Games are so creative now, huh? No wonder you're such a creative person.
I mean, I don't know. I could probably geek out about this all day, but it's the lore, you know, like the lore behind the games. Like there's a story in the game. But for example, the dude that wrote all of the Game of Thrones books, A Song of Ice and Fire, George R.R. Martin, he's the one that wrote the world for that game, Elden Ring.
Yep.
So like there's all this like history, you know, like thousands of years of history. I just like to geek out and read up on that stuff.
Yeah.
It like this is mostly where I get like my inspiration from like marketing and content and stuff.
I just Googled it, General Radon, and oh my God, it's like it literally looks like the most like cinematography, like the graphic designers made this.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'll send you this like trailer. It was their launch trailer for the video game. When you see it, you're going to be like, what the hell? Like, this is games now? And so
that's
I think you'll love it.
I'm seriously mind blown because I remember back in the day too, even the trailers, we just like, I just remember Halo's trailer. And then and it was still cool, but it wasn't that. So I'm imagining the gaming production now, they're really making it experiential, which is very cool.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, send me the trailer. This is awesome. I also love Game of Thrones. I love anything like fantasy.
You'll love it then. Yeah, you'll love this. You'll love this series. It's super cool.
Send me the series. What title would you give this chapter in your life?
Rebuilding. It's the rebuilding phase. I'm super excited about it. It's awesome.
If you could pick what superpower, what would you choose? Any superpower in the world.
Teleportation.
That's a great one. That's my favorite X-Men character.
Nightcrawler?
Nightcrawler, yeah.
Nice. I love Nightcrawler. He's awesome.
He is awesome. What was your last impulse purchase?
I bought like $4,000 worth of Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
Yeah, and Todd still does not let it go. He has to periodically make fun of me for it. But again, like, dude, I'm in Pakistan. We don't get Amazon and all of that stuff. So like my wife and I took a trip earlier in February. I saw Yu-Gi-Oh cards for the first time in 11 years. And I was like, oh my God. And I just could not stop buying them. And now I have like thousands of Yu-Gi-Oh cards everywhere that I don't know what to do with.
That is incredible.
That was my last impulse purchase.
So question. I do have a Pokemon.
Oh my God. Amazing. Where are my Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
This isn't the OG Charizard. This is not the OG Charizard.
I remember that. Yeah.
We had the OG.
Yeah. Sad story about the OG Charizard. I got bullied for it in like fifth grade.
Really?
I took my brother's Charizard to school and some other kids saw me with it, just took it from me. And I was like, can I have it back, please? He's like, no, this is mine now. And I was like, okay. My brother never forgave me. So
especially now when you look at the net worth or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. They're worth like thousands of dollars. It's crazy.
I remember I opened up we used to buy them back in the day, whatever. And I realized I had it. My brother and my sister, they were like, oh my God, I'll buy it off of you. And I remember my brother, we used to have those books, you know, that you would keep everything in, keep it in pristine condition. And one of my brother's friends who lived across the street, he found out that I had it, and then he told me that he'll give me like $50 or something for it. And I remember I was like, sure, I'll let me go home and bring it. My brother comes crying to my mom, Jazz is going to sell it. Tell her to give it to me instead. He's like, it's worth more. It's going to be worth. Yeah. And I remember after that, my mom basically was like, nobody's selling anything. She grabbed it, tossed it, and she hid it. We found out later. There were so many. We also had the holographic Mew. There were so many cards that we had. And when we moved, we lived in Boston at the time. When we moved, now recently, I think like 10 years ago, I was like, hey, mom, what you guys ever end up doing with that? Because I think on social for a while, people were sharing like the worth for all of this. And like, we just left it in the box in the garage. And I was like,
wow. Yeah. That's, you know, I used to have a lot of Pokemon cards and stuff growing up too. And that's kind of, I think that's kind of what happened with everyone. Like our parents just kind of like, oh, whatever. Just leave this stuff behind. Yeah.
Question for you, random, but was it always like, I remember there was a Yu-Gi-Oh. Well, my cousin, he was obsessed with Yu-Gi-Oh. I remember there was always a Yu-Gi-Oh can. Well, it was never a Yu-Gi-Oh versus Pokemon, right? More people kind of, you know, either choosing one or the other, or they kind of came in a little bit different times. I feel like they were a little bit different.
It was like the different camps. Like, so for the trading card games, there was the whole Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh thing. But for the show, Pokemon was mostly dominant. But then Digimon came around at a point in time. You remember Digimon? Then it was like Pokemon versus Digimon thing.
Got it.
So that's what that was. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Yeah. There's a little tangent. Hey, last question. I'll give you back your day because we totally went over, but this was a great question. Who inspires you? Who should we invite onto the show?
I think Drew Leahy is amazing. He's so super, super smart. We used to work at Client Boost together and I like pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed for them to bring him on to the team at Hockey Stack as a product marketer. And like, he is someone that's so knowledgeable. Like all this stuff that I talk about, like, you know, creative concepts, memorable experiences, like he can hang, like he'll hang with me and he'll tell me like all these stuff, all these things that like I've never even considered and I've never thought of. But then at the same time, he has that equal amount of knowledge on like product marketing, narrative building. And like, I'm just like, damn, bro, like he's brilliant. I think he's absolutely brilliant. And if you have one person on, I would suggest that it would be Drew. From
we'll definitely have Drew Leahy for 2024 series. So thank you for that.
For sure.
Absolutely. Well, Obed, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
It's great talking to you. Yeah.
Again, to go from me being like, oh, to we're going to keep going.
Let's go. Yeah. Like, love it.
Content. I think the community is going to absolutely love a lot of stuff you shared. Also, with your stories that you shared. I think that's the stuff where you just realize that we're all trying to learn and do the same things, but everybody has a different level of expertise in the stuff that you're thinking. A lot of this perspective that you shared. I know that it's a solid episode when I'm sitting here trying to take notes while you're talking. Mm. And then when I was like, all right, let's keep this going because, you know, we do have a hard cutoff, obviously, but I'm like, I feel like we can continue to talk and I can continue to learn. And that's a wonderful thing. So you're obviously killing it.
Thank you. Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. Everything that you've said, it really means a lot to me. And just thank you so much for everything, for inviting me on and for, you know, all the awesome things you've said today. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And how can people find you? Besides, are you just active on LinkedIn or are you active elsewhere?
Yeah, just active on LinkedIn. I don't use like social profiles and stuff like Twitter, Instagram. I just use LinkedIn. So you can just follow me there or just message me there and I'll get back in touch and stuff.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thanks again. And for the rest of our listeners, I'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Take care, everyone. Thanks, Jess. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Growth Marketing Camp. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you would give it a quick 5-star rating or share it with a friend or colleague looking to strengthen their skills with tips and inspiration. If you want to learn more about the company behind the show, head to opensense.com. That's OPENSENSE.com. We'll catch you on the next episode.